Please open your Bible to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And I'd like to read from verse 18 down to verse 25. Hear the word of the Lord. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, please help us to understand your word this morning. Pray that you would speak very clearly and distinctly to us, for that's what we need. In Jesus' name, amen. There are many things in the Christmas story that are a long way from our experience. Life in first century Judea and Galilee was very different to life in 21st century Australia. I don't think any of you walked to church today or came via a donkey. You came in an air-conditioned car. As far as I know, none of the mums here had their first child in a stable. You probably had your first baby in a hospital or in your home. None of us have ever been forced by an imperial government to travel to our ancestral home and there register for taxation purposes. We've never witnessed a hanging or a beheading or a crucifixion in the city square, and praise God for that. I doubt that any of us have ever experienced the kind of poverty that the average Galilean peasant lived in. It was a different time and a different world to the one we know, and this is without mentioning the cultural differences, the customs and practices that were part of everyday Jewish life. What people ate, what they wore, the ways that men and women related to each other, the religious ceremonies and festivals they kept, the way they thought about the world, all of it was vastly different to us and to the way we live. They certainly didn't spend hours over summertime watching cricket. In fact, I wonder what they would have made of cricket and our fascination with it. They'd probably find it very strange and rather pointless, as I know some of you do. And it's hard for us to imagine what everyday life was like for Joseph and Mary, for their parents, for their friends. And then when we add the supernatural element to the story, the angelic visitations and the virgin conception, it gets even further away from our experience. Now, how could we possibly relate to these people and what happened to them all those years ago? Certain elements of the Christmas story are unique. Things happened for the first and only time in human history. A virgin conceived. Her child was the Son of God, a divine human person. Angels appeared announcing his birth. A special star marked his birthplace. Singular events took place at a time, in a place, and in a culture far removed from ours. And perhaps at this time of year, as the story is retold and celebrated, we sense this distance. Now, we believe that it all happened, as the Bible says, But it still has a kind of storybook quality to us. We can't really relate to these people and what took place. Our feelings aren't captured. Our feelings aren't engaged. And perhaps we wish they were. This morning I want to try to bridge this gap, to help us relate to the Christmas story and particularly to the experience of Joseph. What Joseph went through is actually not so very different to what we go through. I believe we can identify with him. Our hearts can be drawn into this story and we can learn from his example. I'm going to take us through Joseph's experience under four headings. You can see them there in the outline. Number one, expectation. Number two, complication. Number three, revelation. And then number four, dedication. Expectation, complication, revelation, and finally, dedication. So first of all, expectation. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Joseph, a carpenter from Nazareth, got engaged to a wonderful young lady by the name of Mary. And we know in those days and in that culture, when it came to getting married, things were done differently to the way that we do them. The respective families were more heavily involved. This was probably an arranged marriage, or at least more arranged than marriages typically are today in our culture. There was a dowry or a bride price that was paid, and the period of betrothal, the period of engagement, was more formal. It had a legal status. Now, putting all of this to one side for a moment, let's focus in on the fact that Joseph was engaged. And a reading between the lines, it's evident that he loved his fiancée. He cared very deeply for Mary, and no doubt he was looking forward to getting married and starting a new life with her. For those of you who are married, can you remember when you got engaged? Was it very romantic? Or was it more businesslike? Did he get down on one knee with the ring? I got engaged on the 27th of February, 2003. I actually had to ask Gertie when it was. 27th of February, 2003. And it was wonderful. I asked Gertie to marry me in the evening at Coffs Harbour out on the jetty. And she said yes straight away. And I was pretty sure she would. And when you get engaged, your mind and your heart are filled with expectation. There is so much to look forward to. The wedding, your first days together as husband and wife, the life you're going to make together, the family you hope to have. By definition, the period of engagement is one of expectation. And so it must have been for Joseph. Whatever that picture of domestic bliss looked like for first century Jewish couples, I'm sure that's what was in Joseph's mind. He was anticipating being with his bride. He was busy making plans. He was busy getting things ready, imagining what life was going to be like. But there was a complication, wasn't there? A big one. And that's the second heading in our outline. Complication. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Before Joseph and Mary were married, Mary got pregnant. When something unexpected upsets our plans, we have this expression, you know, whatever it was, it really threw a spanner in the works. Now, that's exactly what happened to Joseph and to Mary as well, but we're thinking especially about Joseph this morning. This woman that he loved, that he was looking forward to being with and to starting a family with, she was now with child, and Joseph knew that he wasn't the father. They hadn't come together. Again, if you're married this morning, imagine if this was you. And while you were engaged, counting down the days until your wedding, you discovered that your fiancé was pregnant, or that he was responsible for another woman's pregnancy. Talk about dreams being shattered. Imagine the pain. Imagine the sense of betrayal. Imagine the tears. To use another expression, Joseph must have been gutted when he learned of Mary's pregnancy. All of those expectations were dashed. It's evident that he believed that Mary had been unfaithful to him. He believed that she had been with another man, and he was minded to put her away, we're told in verse 19. He intended to break off the engagement, which in that society was akin to divorce. But he intended to do so privately. We see that at the end of verse 19. Joseph didn't want to make a spectacle of Mary. And that was a mark of his character. He was a good man. And despite what he thought she had done, despite how that must have made him feel, he didn't want to cause her any unnecessary pain. And beloved, I think there's a lesson here for us when it comes to what we broadcast to the world when we've been wronged. And just because we're upset, just because we've been ill-treated or let down, it doesn't mean we have to tell everyone. It doesn't mean we have to post it up on Facebook or make some kind of statement on Instagram. Now, it's just too easy to put it all out there and receive instant sympathy, instant vindication. People are quick to support us and quick to join the pile-on of the person who's done wrong, and it feels good. But there is no concern for others. No thought for the person who's done the wrong thing. No thought given to the wider implications of what we say. It's very self-centered. And it's not at all Christ-like. It's not gracious. It's not what Joseph did here. He wanted to keep this a private matter. He wasn't concerned about just himself and his feelings and his reputation. We ought to applaud him for doing so and follow his example. So there was this complication, and it looked like the relationship was over. But this is where the Lord stepped into Joseph's world, and so we come to heading number 3, Revelation, verses 20 and 21. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The word of God came to Joseph by the mouth of an angel as he dreamed. And Joseph was told what had happened to Mary, who the child would be, and what he should do. He shouldn't be afraid for his reputation. He shouldn't be afraid of any other consequences, but he should go ahead and take Mary to be his wife. She hadn't been unfaithful to him. She'd become pregnant by way of a miracle. She was carrying in her womb the Saviour, a new Joshua, the one who would deliver his people from their sins. I wonder whether Mary had already told Joseph this, don't you? Don't you wonder about that? I wonder whether Mary had already told Joseph this about this supernatural conception and Joseph just didn't believe it. Or perhaps she hadn't told him because she didn't think he'd believe her. We don't know. But obviously Joseph needed this word. He needed this visitation. Now, what the angel looked like, what the experience of this dream was like for Joseph, we're left to our imaginations. But I suspect that Joseph had the sense that this message had come from God. Most of the time in Scripture, people knew when it was an angel that was speaking to them. Now, at this point, Joseph had a choice to make, didn't he? Was he going to believe the word of God and take Mary to be his wife? Or was he going to reject the message and do what he intended to do, break off the engagement? On the one hand, Joseph had his reason telling him what Mary had done. It was obvious she'd been unfaithful. And together with that were all of his emotions, natural feelings of hurt and disappointment and betrayal. But on the other hand, there was this word from God that said that Mary's pregnancy had come about by means of a miracle. She hadn't been unfaithful, and he should go and marry her. What was he going to choose? Would he go with his reason and his feelings, or would he go with God's word? That brings us to heading number four. We've seen Joseph's expectation, we've seen the complication, we've seen the revelation from God. Now finally we see his dedication. Verses 24 and 25. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Joseph believed the word of God, and he obeyed. It's put very simply here, but it's actually quite beautiful for us to think about, given the context. Joseph did as the angel of the Lord had bidden. And not only did he take Mary to be his wife, he refrained from having intimate relations with her until she'd given birth. He was full of respect and care for his bride. He had self-control and was willing to wait. Joseph was dedicated to Mary. Joseph was dedicated to this child. Joseph was dedicated to doing what God wanted. Joseph trusted the Lord over his own feelings. Joseph trusted that what the Lord said was true, even though to human eyes and to the human mind it seems so very unlikely. And beloved, this is where I think we can relate to Joseph. I think this is one of the places where the Christmas story is very much like our story. We all have expectations. Normal expectations, healthy expectations. We look forward to certain things, just like Joseph was looking forward to his marriage. We make plans, we work towards certain outcomes. But sometimes there are complications, aren't there? A proverbial spanner in the works. And it might be something small. You know, a small expectation evaporates and it's no great loss. We had our heart set on going somewhere or participating in some activity, and for some reason it didn't happen, and in the grand scheme of things it's no great loss. But sometimes it's big things. It's big problems. Big expectations are disappointed. The complication is life altering. We don't get the job, or we lose our job. We have a miscarriage. Our child is born with special needs. Our teenager makes poor choices and wanders away. Our spouse gets very sick or is disabled in some way, and so we can't enjoy the kind of lifestyle that we were hoping to. We lose a lot of money. A relationship isn't restored like we thought it would be. Family problems remain unresolved and we thought they would be by now. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about when I talk about complications. I'm sure you've had your fair share. We've all felt like Joseph at one time or another, disappointed, hurt, heartbroken, angry, upset. But that's not where the similarities end. Like Joseph did, we too have received a word from God. A word to comfort us in the midst of our heartbreak and frustration. A word to reassure us. A word to point us in the right way. A word to guide our response. It's a lamp for our feet, a light for our path. It restores our soul, it rejoices our heart, it makes us wise, it's true and righteous altogether. It's sufficient for all that we have to deal with. We would all confess these things about the Word of God, wouldn't we? But here's the crux of the matter. In the midst of our disappointment and pain, we face the same decision that Joseph faced. On the one hand, we have our feelings, powerful feelings, legitimate feelings. We have our personal assessment of the situation. We have what the world tells us to do, and we have what our heart wants to do. And then on the other hand, we have the Word of God. And often it gives a very different message. God's assessment of the situation is different to ours. We also have God's promises, and we have what God wants us to do. And we have to decide who we're going to go with, who we're going to believe, who we're going to follow. Are we going to dedicate ourselves to the Lord, to His way, to what He says is right and important, or are we going to do what our heart thinks is right and what the world says is right? That's what it always comes down to, this decision. Would you have chosen Mary? Would you have chosen Mary? You discovered that she was pregnant. An angel told you that it was an act of the Holy Spirit. Would you have believed it? Would you have proceeded with the marriage? Before you answer that, think about how you've responded this year to the complications that have come into your life. Think about the choices you made when your expectations were disappointed. Did you trust the Lord? I mean, really trust Him? Did you rest in His love and His sovereignty? Did you find comfort and assurance in His promises? Did you respond like He wanted you to, with grace on your lips and love in your heart? I'll be honest with you this morning. Based on the way I've dealt with disappointment this year, I don't know if I would have believed the angel and chosen Mary. It's been an up and down year for me. And I've got a long way to go in this regard. This is a message for me as much as anyone else. What about you? Would you have believed the Lord and chosen Mary? And maybe something happened this year, or last year, or a long, long time ago, and it's eating you up. Your expectation was crushed. You were hurt. You were wronged. You were massively let down. Things didn't turn out like you had hoped they would. And that disappointment, that frustration has turned into a deep well of bitterness. Perhaps your heart is full of resentment and not rejoicing, but you manage to smile and play along. Now, if this is so, I'll tell you why. It's because you've never done what Joseph did in this famous story. You've never chosen to take hold of what God says. You've not chosen to trust Him and respond His way. Or maybe you did for a while, but then you stopped. And instead, you're following your feelings. You've followed what others have told you. You've looked elsewhere for reassurance and for joy. Now, my brethren, only God can heal the bruises in your soul. Only God can do that. Only God can fill the emptiness. Only God can give us rest and joy, but we have to turn to Him and say, "Okay, Lord, I'll trust You. I'll do what You want me to do." Now, there is a dear brother in our congregation who talks about handing things over to God, and I love that expression. We've got to learn to hand it over. That's what Joseph did. He handed the situation over to God. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. And it was all okay. It was okay. God took this couple, used them in an amazing way. Maybe today you need to hand some things over to God. Maybe you need to let the Christmas story touch your heart. It's not as removed from your experience as you might think. Maybe you need to let Joseph's example lead you to repent, to trust in the Lord and do what He says in the midst of some hurt or disappointment. If the Lord's speaking to you today, if the Lord's putting His finger on your heart, I pray you'll listen. I pray you'll respond as He's calling you to. Amen.